Today is Purple Tuesday. What is it? What's it all about? Why is it so important? Well, we have Gavin Neat from Neatbox to chat to about one of his apps and about Purple Tuesday. Thanks very much for joining us, Gavin.
Always a pleasure, Alan. Always a pleasure.
So Purple Tuesday, what does it mean to someone like you who has worked within guide dogs and now you have your own business looking to improve mainly the customer experience for people with disabilities? It must be a big day each year.
It's a massive day. I guess I became aware of it about 4 years ago, and then I got in touch with the CEO, the chap who kicked it all off. There's a gentleman called Mike Adams. Anyway, Mike had started Purple Tuesday. When we start looking back at the people who have been doing fantastic work, and we highlight the people who plan to do good work, and then we observe those people doing good work into the future. When I say good work, I mean thinking about disabled people walking through their door and requiring service. And I think one of the challenges we've had historically is that people don't generally know what to do or even expect disabled people to walk through the door. And when they do, even if they have had training in the past, they kind of forget the training, or they get a little bit sort of nervous or embarrassed, and they sort of make mistakes and then discriminate. And then that can be a real negative for the disabled person. So Purple Tuesday was set up by Mike all those years ago to say, look, guys, don't worry, but let's move forward. Let's do something that's going to change the narrative so that everybody goes into the day after Purple Tuesday thinking, right, I've got this. Let's improve.
So we're looking at the purple pound. So I'd say the spend of people with disabilities, and I would say that's probably more important at this current time than ever before, to be honest.
There are more and more disabled people in work. Still not enough. It's still definitely not enough. There's more disabled people, maybe with more money. They're going out there and they're getting into society and they're saying, I want this. I need this. This is something that I need to help me in my life. And they're spending that cash. In the UK, there's about 14.2, 14.3 million disabled people. And they spend around about 278, 279 billion a year. 1.3 billion people worldwide spending around about $8 trillion every single year. Now, if you are going into a business and you get poor customer service, there is an increased chance that you're not going back to that business. One in five people are disabled, and 70% of them say that they're not coming back if they get bad service. Well, I potentially could lose one heck of a part of my income here. So, the world changed to say, yeah, we need to be better at this. But it also said, well, wait a second. We're going to miss a trick if we don't do it. And if our competitors do it, then we're definitely going to be missing a trick. So, yeah, it's about improving the service for everybody.
Now, as someone who is blind, I'm a guide dog owner. If I go somewhere and I get good service, or indeed if I go somewhere and I get bad service, you know, I will tell people about it. Social media is warmed up and off you go. And you know, I follow other disabled people's recommendations for places to go as well. So that bad customer service or good customer service towards one person could affect even more.
So for many disabled people, bad customer service is an extreme. It's like I wasn't allowed entry. It was an access refusal. I couldn't get into the Uber taxi because they refused access to me, or somebody just ignored the fact that I was blind and that I needed help with a menu. They would think, right, that's bad customer service. But to my mind, if I went into a shop as a sighted person and somebody's wearing a name badge and I look down and I go, that person's called Norman, well, you are getting bad customer service if Norman recognizes you're blind and doesn't go, hello, my name's Norman. Or at least it's not bad customer service, but it's a hell of a lot worse than I get. Now, why should you get different customer service to me? I want to raise the bar. I want to raise the level of service that everybody gets. But this is about equity. This is about people getting the service that they need, rather than having equal service to everybody else.
Was that one of the things that perhaps prompted you to look at Neatbox and say, what can we do to help businesses give better or more inclusive or universal service?
Well, so as you know, I was a guide dog mobility instructor for 18 years, and I would walk into shops and I would see poor customer service, and then I would talk to the staff member afterwards. I wasn't pointing a finger. I just wanted to find out more information. And I would say, have you been given training? And sometimes they would say no, but sometimes they would say yes. And then I would think to myself, well, why didn't they put that training into place when they met the blind person or blind or visually impaired person? And it was because they weren't comfortable remembering what they had been taught 2-3 years before, or 2 months, or even 6 months before. And when I looked into it even further, I realized that traditional staff training leaves us. I mean, if you think back to when you learn a foreign language, if you then don't use that foreign language, it disappears. It doesn't have to disappear completely, but if it disappears a little, you lose the confidence to use it. And I just thought, well, wouldn't it be good if I was a disabled person? Wouldn't it be good if I could communicate with that service team before I walk through the door? And that's pretty much where I came up with all my solutions. It was, how do I communicate between one side and the other to make sure that both sides had a better experience?
So you have different solutions from Meatbox which help with this, but let's look at the Welcome Me app, because that's the one that kind of stands out for me in terms of going to places. That could be shops, it could be libraries, it could be transport hubs, and getting that great customer service. So how does Welcome Me work for the provider and the user?
So we had an app. You would download the app. You would look at the venues on the app that were using this particular service. You would pick the venue you were going to. You would say that you were going. Your profile, which had been pre-populated, would then trigger training in the venue to say, this is how to interact with Gavin when he walks through the door. So that's what we had before. But now what you can do is you can go to the venue's website and you can actually plan your visit through their website. A little bit like if you were booking a flight and it would say, do you require assistance? And you would click that button and it would take you somewhere else. Well, Welcome kind of moved forward into this world where you could go to the website or you could use their app. And I think that's the big step forward. But what actually happens when you say you're going to a venue, and it can be 2 hours before you want to go, you say you're going, and then what that does is it triggers your photograph and awareness required for a particular condition. It then gives the staff member, the one that you're actually going to be meeting, it gives them an overview of your condition. And we've got about 31 different conditions on the platform, but it then gives some top tips on interaction. So a guide dog owner, it might say, introduce yourself. Don't speak, feed, or distract my guide dog. It might say, please offer sighted guide rather than just taking my arm. Walk at my pace, not your pace. Avoid words like it's over there or pointing and things like this. And it might say, let me know when you're leaving so I know that you're no longer standing next to me. But if you know that half an hour before somebody walks through the door, you're more likely to put it into practice. And that's ultimately what we did with Welcome. Now, when we last spoke, I think we had around about 100 different Welcome venues, something like that. Might even be less. We're now up at 170 different Welcome venues across the UK, including every single sector. The big ones for us just recently have been council buildings and shopping centres. So we've just launched in Westfield in London and Battersea Power Station in London. But we also launched with St James Quarter in Edinburgh and the Ford Shopping Centre in Glasgow. But councils, Westminster City Council, Edinburgh City Council, lots of different councils across the country where there are venues like sports centres and things like this. And railway stations, Irish Rail included it, Northlink Ferries put it in all of their ferry terminals, Scottish Government put it in. And the Scottish Government are in talks now to actually put it into places like MSP constituency offices. So lots of different venues, lots of different people, lots of people getting helped.
Do you go to places and say, here's Welcome Me, this is why you should be using this, it will benefit you? Or do people come to you and say, Gavin, I go to this service quite a lot or this place quite a lot, could you find out if they would be interested in it?
At the very start we did, because we were trying to tell people it existed. But I have to say, we now have more than enough people coming to us and saying, when can we have the service? So our sales process turned around a little bit in the we were selling it, but now people are coming to us and saying, I heard that you've got this service. We really like it. We'd like to install it here, there, and everywhere else. But also, we always say to disabled people, if you're using the app, you can contact us or go to our website and you can say where you want it next. So we have lots of people saying, I want it in my local shop, or I want it in my local hospital or health center or dental practice. And then we contact the dental practice and say, hey, we've got 1, 5, 10, 20 people say that they want to see this service in use. And that generally leads to the venue saying, well, we'll put it in for a year and see how we get on, but more than likely we'll stay because they don't want to lose it once they start using it.
Did the social media play a part for you then, if people use the service, as in the customers, and they get great service and they perhaps go into things like Facebook or Instagram or Twitter or wherever, and they tout that? I mean, that must be good as well.
When anybody uses this and they post something on social media, it sparks lots of conversations. If we talk about visual impairment again, just for a second, the amount of access refusals for guide dog owners, the times that we see that people have had poor or been discriminated against, it's because there are so many new members of staff out there and people maybe just not understanding what they should do. And the opportunity on social media is normally to complain that the service wasn't good enough. But I like to jump in there after that's been highlighted, and I like to say, right, well, let's improve it. Let's take this forward. People think Purple Tuesday is about Purple Tuesday. As I said, I know Mike. Mike's about, no, this is 365 days a year.
Gavin, we're almost out of time. If people would like to find out more about Neatbox or Welcome Me, how do they do that?
I would say follow us on Twitter at welcome_CS. Or they can follow us on LinkedIn. They can follow me, Gavin Neate. That's N-E-A-T-E. Or they can just go to our website, which is wel-co.me.
Gavin, great to chat with you as always. And thanks for joining us once again on R&IB Connect Radio.
A total pleasure, Alan.